Hi everyone, and welcome back to Us and Tomorrow. I am Belinda. Today we are looking into something different. We are going to slow down and take a long, careful look at an idea that might seem like a novelty at first glance. That idea is surprising. The relationship between William Shakespeare and the genre of science fiction. This isn't just about odd quote or a sci-fi movie lifting a plot from the Bard. It's about how science fiction keeps returning to Shakespeare again and again across books, films, television, and even entire fan cultures. And how Shakespeare's works themselves have always contained elements that feel surprisingly futuristic or even alien. So let's take our time and really dig into the details. One of the most striking examples of Shakespeare merging with science fiction is The Tempest, written around 1610 or 1611. The Tempest is sometimes called Shakespeare's farewell to the stage. Its central figure, Prospero, is a powerful magician who has been exiled to an island. He conjures a storm, shipwrecks his enemies, and uses supernatural spirits to manipulate events toward reconciliation. But many scholars have pointed out that The Tempest reads very much like early science fiction. Prospero is, in many ways, a proto-scientist or even an engineer. He uses his books and knowledge to bend nature to his will, just as a scientist might use technology. And Ariel, the airy spirit, is in some ways like an obedient robot or AI assistant, following precise commands and executing invisible tasks. Prospero's manipulation of reality echoes the control we now associate with computers and machines. This becomes crystal clear when we look at Forbidden Planet, the 1956 sci-fi film often considered one of the genre's classics. Instead of an island, the story takes place on a distant planet, Altair IV. Prospero becomes Dr. Edward Morbius, a scientist who has unlocked ancient alien technology left behind by the Krell, a hyper-advanced civilization that destroyed itself. The Krell's technology magnifies human thoughts and desires, and it produced physical manifestations of the subconscious. This leads to the film's terrifying monster, described as the monster from the Eid, which mirrors Caliban in The Tempest, a creature born of raw instinct and primal emotion. Morbius's daughter, Altera, is the film's Miranda. Robbie the robot serves as a futuristic Ariel, obedient, precise, and capable of near-magical feats. What's fascinating is that the Forbidden Planet doesn't just borrow The Tempest as a plot. It uses the same ideas about knowledge, power, and hidden desires. In Shakespeare, Prospero's magic is both wondrous and dangerous. In Forbidden Planet, science becomes a new kind of magic, equally capable of wonders and horrors. So let's shift from adaptations to language itself. Science fiction has a long tradition of quoting Shakespeare. Nowhere is this more prominent than in Star Trek. The entire franchise is steeped in Shakespearean references, from episode titles to entire speeches delivered in starships. Consider The Undiscovered Country. The title itself comes from Hamlet's soliloquy, "To be or not to be," where Hamlet calls death the undiscovered country from whose bourne no traveler returns. In the film, the Klingon Chancellor Gorkon, played by David Warner, famously declares, "You have not experienced Shakespeare until you have read him in the original Klingon." What began as a clever line turned into a genuine cultural phenomenon. The Klingon Language Institute, founded in 1992, undertook the remarkable project of translating Shakespeare into Klingon. They published Hamlet as Hamlet, I don't know how to pronounce, but like in Klingon. Lines like "to be or not to be" become tapat, sorry, I don't know how to pronounce that. But scholars and actors have performed portions of Hamlet in Klingon, complete with elaborate costumes and martial choreography. And it's not just a gimmick. It shows how deeply Shakespeare resonates even in imagined alien cultures, because Shakespeare's words are adaptable, they're poetic, theatrical, and lend themselves beautifully to otherworldly settings. But quoting Shakespeare isn't just about style or elegance, it serves as a narrative function in sci-fi. When characters like Captain Picard quote Julius Caesar or Macbeth, it is more than decorate the dialogue. It connects high-stakes, futuristic dilemmas to timeless human conflicts. Consider The Wrath of Khan. Khan, the genetically engineered villain, quotes Moby Dick and Shakespeare's King Lear as he obsesses over revenge. Shakespeare's words emphasize how Khan's hatred transcends time and technology, because he might be in the 23rd century, but he's trapped in an ancient cycle of vengeance. Sci-fi uses Shakespeare to remind us that human nature doesn't change, even if the setting does. Beyond quoting Shakespeare, sci-fi sometimes brings Shakespeare himself into the story as a character. One of the most charming examples is Asimov's short story, The Immortal Bard. It was first published in 1954. It tells of Dr. Phineas Welch, a scientist who invents a time machine and decides to bring Shakespeare into the 20th century. Shakespeare arrives, tries to adapt, and even attends a modern literature class about his own place. Unfortunately, he fails miserably because literary critics have invented symbolic meanings and complex interpretations he never intended. Asimov's story is both a clever piece of science fiction and a wry comment on how we sometimes overcomplicate art. Another more obscure example is Andrew Harmon's novel A Midsummer Night's Dream, published in 1997. It's a comedic sci-fi reimagining of a Midsummer Night's Dream. Instead of fairies causing romantic confusion in the forest, mischievous sprites begin experimenting with genetic engineering, and they altered human DNA in a small English village. And it's absurd, chaotic, and a perfect demonstration of how Shakespeare plots adapt seamlessly into modern technological anxieties. One reason Shakespeare endures in science fiction is that he was, in some ways, already writing proto-science fiction. Think about plays like Macbeth, where visions, ghosts, and prophecy create psychological tension and raise questions about fate. Or A Midsummer Night's Dream, which hinges on magical transformations, potions, and altered perceptions of reality. These fantastical elements mirror sci-fi's exploration of altered states, parallel worlds, and technological illusions. In many ways, Shakespeare's stagecraft was the special effects technology of his day. Trapdoors, stage machinery, thunder sheets, and mysterious lighting created effects that would have felt magical or even futuristic to Elizabethan audiences. So sci-fi, at its core, is about possibility, about asking, what could we become? How will technology change who we are? Shakespeare was obsessed with those same questions. Even if he didn't write about spaceships or AI, his questions, his plays, are filled with characters wrestling with power, identity, and the boundaries of knowledge. Prospero's Island is both a place of exile and a laboratory. Hamlet's Denmark is a kingdom haunted by secrets, betrayal, and metaphysical questions about existence. These are the same narrative engines that drive science fiction. When Data from Star Trek stands on the holodeck, reciting Prospero's lines about breaking his staff and drowning his book, it's not just an actor quoting Shakespeare. It's an android pondering humanity, mortality, and the idea of stepping away from power. It's Shakespeare's themes reborn in Circuits and Starlight. Before we wrap up, here are a few remarkable facts that show just how deep this connection goes. NASA has named moons and asteroids after Shakespeare's characters. Miranda, Titania, and Oberon, all moons of Uranus, come from his place. Patrick Stewart, who played Captain Picard, performed Macbeth and Prospero on stage before commanding the Starship Enterprise. And in 2010, the Royal Shakespeare Company even staged scenes from Shakespeare in Klingon for an event celebrating language and literature. It's funny, but also incredibly fitting, because Shakespeare's words and sci-fi both strive on transformation, possibility, and reaching beyond the ordinary. So the next time you see a starship captain quoting Julius Caesar, or watch a robot delivering the Tempest, remember this. Shakespeare hasn't been left behind in history. He's journeyed with us into the stars, because no matter how far humanity travels, we keep bringing our oldest stories with us. And Shakespeare, it seems, is still exploring the final frontier. Thanks for joining me today on Us and Tomorrow. I'm Belinda. If you enjoyed this deep dive, share it with someone who loves sci-fi or Shakespeare, or both. Until next time, keep dreaming of tomorrow.